You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Jacqueline Lee. President Biden at the White House on letting depositors get their money back from two failed banks.
Americans can have confidence that the banking system is safe.
The president says people will be able to get out everything they put into Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank thanks to a fund paid for by Wall Street. ABC White House correspondent Karen Travers has the details.
President Biden sought to assure Americans that taxpayer dollars are not at risk with the actions being taken by his administration to address problems at Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. The president said Americans can have confidence in the nation's banking system.
Your deposits will be there when you need them. Small businesses across the country, the deposit accounts at these banks can breathe easier knowing they'll be able to pay their workers and pay their bills. And their hardworking employees can breathe easier as well.
What happened was a classic bank run, ending with the failure of SVB just 48 hours after the panic began. This is ABC News. The Oscar Awards have made history. Details from ABC's Jason Nathanson backstage.
Sunday night's Best Actress win was historic.
Michelle Yeoh.
The Everything Everywhere All at Once star, the first Asian woman to win Best Actress.
For all the little boys and girls who look like me watching tonight, this is a beacon of hope and possibilities.
The song Natu Natu from the film RRR is the first track from an Indian film to win Best Song, and Ruthie Carter's win for costume design for Black Panther Wakanda Forever was her second win, making her the only Black woman to ever win more than one Oscar.
Other wins: Ki-Hui Kwan, Best Supporting Actor, Jamie Lee Curtis, Best Supporting Actress, and Brendan Fraser, Best Actor. Starting Wednesday, sugary drinks are out at restaurants serving kids' meals in Montgomery County, Maryland. Water or low-fat milk among healthier beverages on offer. More than a million people live in the county just outside D.C. Jacqueline Lee, ABC News.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin is getting hit with its third heavy snowfall in the first 2 weeks of March. Parts of northeast Wisconsin are getting the worst of it. Shawnee, Outagamie, Brown, Winnebago, Waupaca, Calumet, and Manitowoc counties are under a winter storm warning. Surrounding counties are under a winter weather advisory. The city of Madison is retroactively dismissing 282 tickets for marijuana possession. People who were fined between February of 2019 and December of 2020 will have the charge expunged from their records. Recreational marijuana is illegal in Wisconsin, but a Madison City ordinance loosens restrictions on small amounts. In sports, the Bucks are at Sacramento tonight. The Badgers open NIT play at the Kohl Center tomorrow night against Bradley. Marquette plays Vermont at the Big Dance Friday. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
March 15th.
What's March 15th?
March 15th is the absolute final day to take advantage of up to 50% off on our Civic Media premium weather sponsorships. First, we spread your business message and phone number to our listeners. Then we spread Mother Nature's plans for the next 36 hours. You'll get a 15-second ad every hour followed by your phone number.
Don't wait.
March 15th is almost here. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Sarah Gadlewski, who is the former state treasurer of Wisconsin, former candidate for U.S. Senate, and is founder of Women Win Wisconsin. Is that what we're calling you?
That's a good title.
I'll take it.
It's easy to feel like we're alone amongst our estrogen, but that's not true, right? We have male allies.
The husbands, these partners, you know, male friends that are like, no, this is not okay.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! It is Monday, March 13th. The sun is out, but snow is certainly on the ground. I know I was a little bit further north than Milwaukee this weekend, and it snowed all day yesterday. I don't think a lot of it stuck, but Jane Mountaineer, did it snow over by you?
We got some. It certainly wasn't an all-day real heavy, you know, things. It stuck overnight. It stuck overnight. I think we got about an inch overnight. But like
you
said,
did you have to shovel this morning?
I did not have time to shovel. So my husband will get to do that when he gets home.
Oh, isn't that what husbands are good for?
That must be. Yes, of course. It's one of the many, many wonderful husband things.
Sure. We'll go with that. Sure. All right. Well, good show today. I'm excited about both of our guests in the noon hour. We are going to be welcoming Eileen Newcomer, who is the voter education manager at the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. And they are trying a new tactic because, you know, that's an organization that's been around for 100 years. Have always prided themselves on being nonpartisan.
Yep.
And a major point of their work is getting information to voters, especially information about candidates. But as of the last handful of years, Republicans are less interested in showing up at League of Women Voters forums, answering where their stance is on issues. And so they are trying a new tactic. So Eileen will be here to talk about that, how that's working, and also just kind of going into 3 weeks till the election.
Yep.
What you need to know, when early voting starts for most parts of the state, after dates, all of that. So that will be at noon today. Then at 12:30, my brother's going to be back. My brother, the 20-year Wall Street veteran, is going to try to explain to us what the hell happened with Silicon Valley Bank.
And it happened really quickly, too.
Like, it went from this was such a niche banking operation that serviced one specific type of company that those of us in the Midwest probably don't think about a whole ton. And then over the weekend, people starting to freak out about what this means for the entire banking industry. So he's going to be here to explain how that bank got to the place it was in, what happened over the weekend, that it sounds like everyone can breathe now. But I think in general, you know, the responsibility of governments versus accountability and all of that. So that's going to be at 12:30. And then in the no sour, haha, fun time power hour, it's daylight savings. And I don't know if we're all dragging a little slower this morning, but we did lose an hour yesterday. So maybe a little bit of an update on where we are in the debate of should we just stay at one time zone all year round?
And there are differing medical opinions on which is the best way to go. Not all medical experts say switching to permanent daylight savings time is a really good thing to do.
Do most medical experts say that we should pick one or the other, though?
That I'm not sure of, but I do know, again, as far as going to permanent daylight savings time, I don't think there's quite as much support from within the medical community because we're screwing with our circadian rhythms, our natural circadian rhythms.
Well, we'll get into it then, because I feel like that is, and if you have thoughts on which one, if either, or if this is still the best way, we will have that debate at 1 o'clock today. And then we'll round out the show, obviously, with our Oscar takes, because I thought it was pretty good Oscars.
I did too. And I have to tell you, I haven't been genuinely amused by the Oscars in a long time. And I thought last night's show was the best one they've had in years.
I thought so too. I mean, we'll get into it at 1:30, but I was pleasantly entertained. I would say almost we missed like the first 15 minutes, but then pretty much the whole time I thought it was very fun.
It was.
We will get into that at 1:30, but for the ticked off tee off for the newsy hour, we have three different stories, none of which come from Wisconsin, all of which to me feel pretty backwards. And so two out of the three have to do with birth control and family planning. Mm-hmm. And then one has to do with just straight up hypocrisy. So let's start with, I'm hesitant to call it the scariest one, but maybe not out of bounds by calling it the scariest one. And honestly, I'm surprised it took this long in reality.
Because we knew this could come. We knew this was a potential to happen.
Absolutely. I mean, we knew it was potential, but it's finally a Texas man is suing three women who allegedly helped his ex-wife get abortion pills. So this comes from Galveston, Texas, where a man is suing three of his ex-wife's friends who helped her, allegedly, end her pregnancy. And this is the first of its kind since the Supreme Court overturned Roe last summer. So it's actually even more chilling than it initially sounds because of the legal argument this guy is trying to make. So Texas has a total abortion ban. And it also has its aiding and abetting law enforced by private lawsuits. But then the man in this case is suing under the state's wrongful death statute. And so the lawsuit claims that assisting with a self-managed abortion qualifies as murder under state law, which allows a man to file a wrongful death claim. But Texas law exempts pregnant people from prosecution, and his ex-wife is not named as a defendant, just her three friends. So it's terrifying because the three friends are obviously in the situation where they were trying to help their friend. And the timing of it is also, let's say, interesting. So his ex-wife, they were separated. She filed for divorce in May of 2022.
Okay.
So
about a year ago. Not quite.
About a year ago, before Roe was officially overturned. But then she realized she was pregnant by him, July of 2022. So post-Roe. Their divorce was finally finalized last month. And now he is filing these this lawsuit. So he claims in the civil lawsuit that his then wife learned she was pregnant with his child in July 2022 after the state's total ban took effect. And basically he has not screenshots of text messages, but pictures of a phone with the screen with the text messages on it.
So he took pictures of her phone with these messages on it. He claims that this is her phone.
Yes. And okay. So since this is not a criminal case, so there was no search warrant involved. It's just, and there's like thumbs in the picture. And so that makes me sound like he somehow, because they already have two kids. And so they're co-parenting. There's probably still, their divorce just was finalized. And so if somehow he got into her phone and took pictures of those screenshots, and in the articles I read, it did not say if the picture was of her phone or not. But it's just another, I mean, he's basically suing for $1 million in damages. His lawyer is Jonathan Mitchell, who was the architect of SB 8, which was the bounty hunter law that allows anyone to sue someone who aids or abets an abortion. And, you know, Mitchell's not suing under his own law, but he's instead taking a more aggressive stance to claim that the women participated in murder. And this is just really scary that this could be the situation, because basically it sounds like in the text messages, they were talking about Aid Access, which is an international organization that can mail you abortion pills. But it sounds like, at least according to the screenshots, that they were able to, one of the women who lives in Houston was able to get a hold of pills. But, I mean, talk about, I don't know.
Well,
this is terrifying to me.
Well, and think about it. And I'm not sure that this is the case in Texas, but there are some other states that I believe a rapist or members of the rapist's family could sue or go after the woman who got rid of the rapist's baby. So we are now giving rapists and their family members more rights than the woman who was raped.
Yes, and who would have to carry the pregnancy.
Right. Of her rapist.
And on top of this, also in Texas, Texas lawmakers recently introduced a bill that would censor abortion pill websites like Aid Access. So basically, you'd have to have some kind of, I'm assuming, some kind of VPN. But if you had any kind of IP address that was originating from Texas, you couldn't get to those websites.
How does that not violate freedom of speech?
Well, think about the Louisiana law where you have to put your ID in now to watch porn. I mean, obviously, I don't know if that one's been, if there's an ACLU lawsuit for that one, but it seems like it would be under the same kind of rules. So, and just last week, South Carolina police arrested a woman who had allegedly self-managed an abortion in October 2021. So that's where we are as a country right now. But when we come back, our second out of three infuriating stories. One thing Lauren Boebert and I have in common, we're both 36. We're at very different stages of our maternal life, though. We will say that. Come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
March 15th.
Douglas LaFollette, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Good to be here, Mike. Across the country, in most every state, the Secretary of State is the person who is in charge of the election. And we've seen lots of hanky-panky in Florida back during the Al Gore elections, in Ohio and Georgia and Arizona and Michigan.
We appreciate you coming around, sir.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Earl Ingram.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, anybody who's heard Congresswoman Bobart from Colorado and Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, you just have to ask the question, if I'm a Republican, why would I continue to support that foolishness?
Asking the tough questions, searching for the answers we're all looking for. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $150 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matt Nair. And we are doing our Monday ticked off, tee off, because I think a lot of this broke on Friday, but we were snowed out.
Yes. And you were in the dark.
I was in the dark. I had no power, a dead computer, and no internet. And streets were not plowed, so I couldn't really even go anywhere to get internet. And you didn't have internet either, right, on Friday?
My internet has been popping in and out. It's been challenging.
It's been challenging. Yes. So we are playing a little bit of catch-up since we had to do a rerun on Friday. But our second story, you know, Lauren Boebert and I, the probably the only thing we have in common is we were both 36 years old.
Right.
And, you know, politically, we are very different. I would say our values are very different in a lot of ways.
You finished high school?
I finished high school. I also had my GED, to be fair, because I got my GED because I was acting, but I also, on top of that, did finish high school.
Okay.
But we are indeed the same age. But one major difference, I would say, is that at 36, I am currently trying to have my first kid. Versus Bobo is going to be, at 36, a grandmother. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, I, on its face, she was a teenager when she had a kid. Now her first kid, who is still a teenager, is going to have a kid. And this happens, and I am not trying to pass judgment, that you can't still have a successful life. Your kids can be successful. It's not average, I would say. I think you potentially set yourself up for a lot more hardship with teenage pregnancy, but I'm not trying. That is not the point that I'm trying to make as far as this story specifically. It's the fact that she was walking around on the CPAC stage, bragging about it, like it's such a good thing because it is proof that rural kids are more pro-life than urban kids, while simultaneously at the same conference, talking about how she wants a ban on comprehensive sex ed in public schools. That is the part where I'm kind of like, wow, really? So what am I talking about? At CPAC last week, Boebert was awarded the Mothers of Influence Award at the conference, at the CPAC Women's Breakfast. And in her acceptance speech, she shared the news that her 17-year-old son, Tyler, had gotten his girlfriend pregnant and that they're having a boy. And I've read different reports that say that the girl involved is 15.
Great.
So let's play part of her speech.
I'm a mom of four boys, and I've said many times, Jason and I, we are raising our four boys to be men before liberals teach them to be women. But I leaned over and I asked my husband if it was appropriate to announce this here today. So I'm going to tell you all for the first time in a public setting that not only am I a mom of four boys, but come April, I will be a Gigi to a brand new grandson. And Jason and I are so excited to welcome this new life into our family. Now, any of you who have young children who are giving life, there are some questions that pop up. There's some fear that arises. Now, my son, when I approached him and told him, Tyler, I'm going to be a 36-year-old grandmother, he said, well, didn't you make granny a 36-year-old granny? I said, yes, I did. He said, well, then it's hereditary. Nice try, buddy.
Runs in the family. It's just all
runs
in
the family. And she goes on saying, quote, one of our biggest fears was not, what are you going to do? What are people going to say? Our biggest fear is, are they going to choose life? And they did. We are so proud of them for making that sacrifice and being selfless in that position to say there's something greater here. So we're working together with them to make sure that they are amazing parents, that they have the love and support that they need. And you know, there's something special about rural conservative communities. They value life. If you look at teen pregnancy rates throughout the nation, well, they're the same in rural and urban areas. However, abortion rates are higher in urban areas and teen mom rates are higher in rural conservative areas because we understand the preciousness of the life that is about to be born. And I just want to say, or maybe rural teens are pressured by conservative parents to not have abortions, or maybe there's worse access to abortion care in rural areas, as we know to be true in Wisconsin, that even before Roe fell, there was only three cities in the state you could get one. And that was all in either Madison, Milwaukee, or Sheboygan. And so if you were up north, it's a lot harder. And this is not, like, on the one hand, it's being supportive of your kid if they make this choice. I don't have any judgment there, but it is this, you know, correlation versus causation of rural kids are different and we're supporting this. And also, if you're not supporting, if you're pushing that the fact that the most important thing you can do in life is have a kid, it becomes a lot easier to make that choice versus the future sacrifices you're making for your future career, future education, everything. And so
I just find
Gigi at 36.
Yeah, Gigi at 36. I just find it interesting that she points to her family is the role model for what men should be, because let's not forget her husband was charged with exposing himself to minor girls.
And served time and got 2 years of probation.
But they're real men.
Real men. So sincerest apologies to the young girl who is now going to be tied to this woman for the rest of her life. Because I would not wish that upon anyone. All right, when we come back, last story, Tennessee Lieutenant Governor. Get off Instagram, man.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for...
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Jacqueline Lee. President Biden at the White House on letting depositors get their money back from two failed banks.
Americans can have confidence that the banking system is safe.
The president says people will be able to get out everything they put into Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank thanks to a fund paid for by Wall Street. ABC White House correspondent Karen Travers has the details.
President Biden sought to assure Americans that taxpayer dollars are not at risk with the actions being taken by his administration to address problems at Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. The president said Americans can have confidence in the nation's banking system.
Your deposits will be there when you need them. Small businesses across the country, the deposit accounts at these banks can breathe easier knowing they'll be able to pay their workers and pay their bills. And their hardworking employees can breathe easier as well.
What happened was a classic bank run, ending with the failure of SVB just 48 hours after the panic began. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matt-Nair. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin Supreme Court race expected to be the most expensive judicial race in history. Among the cases expected to come before the new court, Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban, rules for voting in the 2024 presidential election, and gerrymandered maps. Liberal Milwaukee Circuit Court Judge Janet Protasiewicz facing off against former conservative Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly, with the court's 4-3 conservative majority hanging in the balance. The election is April 4th. It's daylight savings time, and as usual, conversations around ending the practice altogether arise. In the last 4 years, 15 states have enacted legislation or passed a resolution providing for year-round daylight savings time. Congress would need to act to approve it. There are mixed opinions on the benefits and drawbacks of making it permanent. State lawmakers have introduced bills over the last several years on both sides of the issue. I'm Jane Matt-Nair. This is Civic Media News.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Anybody running against Trump, if he calls them a nasty name, they should hit him back twice as hard. This is not the Marcus of Queensberry gentleman's rules anymore. In politics, certainly not in the Republican Party. Hit him hard.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Log on civicmedia.us.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You say the trans will harm our kids when actually it's you. You're always pointing fingers at the LGBTQ when actually it's you. Why are you projecting? We're sick and tired of you deflecting. Look at these monsters you're protecting. We all know that it's you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matt-Nair. And that was a TikTok from not the real Tracy Delaney Zero. Yes, on TikTok. And I found that original song and thought it was appropriate for this next topic. Not so much that what happened and conspired in this video is as illegal as the sex offenders that she was pointing out that were, you know, Christian pastors and a lot of the people who, you know, when we say the call is coming from inside the house are people who are railing against LGBTQ people and rights, but then also actually child sex offenders. This situation is not as dire as that, but the hypocrisy is still
pretty glaring.
Pretty glaring. And I'm also trying to imagine, because if the roles were reversed and he, so let's just, all right, back up. Let's explain what happened. So again, this broke on Friday?
I think it was Friday.
Friday was a busy day, man. So this comes from Nashville and Tennessee, where Republican Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally, under his own Instagram.
Under his own name.
Under his own name. Not only his own name, but his under Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally has left over 80 comments for on a gay man's Instagram, like thirst trap profile, where he posts a lot of almost naked photos. And the Lieutenant Governor is very supportive.
Encouraging. He's very encouraging.
So he has left numerous comments. The gentleman's name is Franklin McClure, with phrases such as love it and heart and flame emojis. And one comment reads, Finn, you can turn a rainy day into rainbows and sunshine.
Now, again, keep in mind that these are on almost nude pictures of this young man.
And he's 79. So, I mean, even if this was flipped, so let's take the fact that it's a young gay man out of it. Let's say it's a young woman who is, because there's thirst traps of all flavors, straight men, gay women, straight women, and the whole range of identities and gender or identities and sexual orientations. People love to post things of them looking sexy and then to elicit comments and likes. So even leaving these comments for a young woman, it still would have been inappropriate and weird. Like either way, it's just you are an elected official and under your Instagram, not your personal Instagram, your Instagram with your title, your elected title in it, making these kind of comments is weird and inappropriate. And also could you'd step in it. But the thing here is that McNally also, I mean, I guess, I don't know how, I don't think this could happen in Wisconsin, because not only is he the lieutenant governor, he's also a state senator.
What?
So I don't know how you can have both in Tennessee, but, or maybe he was a state senator. Am I reading that wrong? Yeah, no, McNally, who is also a member of the state Senate and serves as its head, because he has spent his career, and he's served in the Tennessee legislature since 1978, voting against LGBTQ bills. So there's the hypocrisy. That clearly this guy has feelings or support for pictures of almost naked men. And yet, when it's come to a variety of bills, not only of the recent ones with the anti-trans bills, but also the drag shows, he has been voting against them, let's say. And he, 2 years in a row, he voted to limit sports participation on the basis of sex assigned at birth. He voted for another bill that allows individuals to refuse to share bathrooms and locker rooms with transgender people. And yet he also has like gone on record saying, I'm not against the LGBTQ community. So the whole thing's very confusing. And I guess it goes back, like, does this matter? Like, to Tennessee voters, are they so homophobic that they will hold this against him?
But he did come back with his apology, such as it was.
He did,
and just kind of said, "Well, I like to support all Tennesseans." And we've talked about this before. I don't think there's any shame left on that side of the aisle. It's impossible to shame them. Even when confronted with their own blatant hypocrisy.
But I think what I'm wondering is, like, for people who voted for him, because there is clearly homophobia that is driving both the bills and the people who are showing up at school board meetings and very concerned about all this. And so if you hear of this, wouldn't you call for his removal?
But as long as he's voting against the people that you hate, then that's okay. And
but
I think,
doesn't this qualify him as someone that you would hate?
Well, but he's doing what I want. He's enforcing the laws that I want against the people that I hate. And if he'd only just keep it to himself, Kristen, then no one would care.
Is that the thing? Is it basically like if people just stayed like the whole thing? And I remember this when I was probably a teenager. So in the very fast rise of LGBTQ rights. Basically happened, I would say, between me being in high school and graduating college. Maybe, 2015. So I would say, from 2005 to 2015. So yeah, 10 years. And is this backlash basically, just stay closeted? Like, it's fine if you are, we just don't want to see it.
And it's fine as if you are, as long as you do what we want you to do against you. Yeah, stay in the closet. Don't make me see it.
Stay in the closet.
Stay in the closet. Don't make me see it. It's very upsetting.
And so because I actually saw something over the weekend of, especially people who are loud and flamboyant, because I also think about this with loud women. Right. And this deep seated envy or resentment towards people who can just be free and live their life as themselves. And for other people who are maybe closeted or people who are scared to actually live their truth, they hate it so much when it's in their face that other people can live more freely
than they can.
And so they just have to do everything to make it smaller, put it away, shut it down. And obviously loud women, I'm not going to make the argument that they're as persecuted as trans and drag and everything right now. But at one point they were, right? Of just shut up, be quiet, be smaller.
Absolutely. And there are a whole bunch of people, I believe, who would love to see women back to, again, we're going back to the good old days. Not the 1950s, we're going back to the 1850s, Kristen, when women had no options. You got married, you stayed home, you had children, that's what you did. The good old days.
Which is also funny because I feel like 1850s isn't even, I don't even know if that was the sweet spot, depending on what class you were in. Because certainly women who were working on farms and pioneer women, they were not helpful and doing stuff. And their work was not valued as far as actually running the household. I feel like there's a different periods in time or different classes where you were just seen and not heard. But I think about 1850s, rural Wisconsin, women were working on the land.
No doubt.
But
they knew their place.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just, because again, this is not, I mean, if anything, it's, I think we can poke fun of it because it's not, a child was not harmed in this, unlike so many other cases we end up seeing where trusted people who work with youth take advantage of that trust. This is someone who just probably doesn't know how Instagram works and that people can see his comments. So speaking of that, as far as being able to make fun of some things and knowing when to make a joke, SNL did take the opportunity to poke fun at the lieutenant governor. So let's play some of that.
This week, Tennessee Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally was caught using his verified Instagram account to engage with provocative photos of a young gay man. Here to comment is Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally.
Sorry I'm late. I spent all day printing out MapQuest directions.
Oh my God, MapQuest?
Yes, I don't know if you noticed, but I am not good at the internet.
Yeah, right. So Randy, you're a married man who supports Tennessee's anti-drag laws. Can you explain why you commented on a thirst trap saying you can turn a rainy day into rainbows and sunshine?
Well, I didn't think people would find out because I used a screen name.
Oh, what is the screen name?
Lieutenant Governor McNally.
Randy, you see how this could be a problem. And also, I want to point out you commented three hearts and three fire emojis on this naked photo of the same young gay man.
Well, Colin, I don't discriminate. I comment on photos of all our orientations. Orientations like from the side, from the front, from the back. There does not have to be a butt, but it helps. Whatever the photo, it's my job to encourage my constituents.
Right. No, I think there's just maybe some confusion about your beliefs.
Colin, I stand by my traditional values. I believe a woman should be in the home and a man should be 143 pounds and dancing to Dua Lipa.
Dancing to Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa. And so again, it's embarrassing, I guess, for him and his family. And that was what he basically apologized for. He said, I'm really, really sorry if I've embarrassed my family, embarrassed my friends, embarrassed any members of the legislature with my posts. And so again, I mean, really, he didn't do anything wrong. Is it inappropriate? Yeah. Is it weird? Yes. Is it embarrassing? Yes. But also, is it like a huge sign of hypocrisy?
Absolutely.
This guy is clearly closeted. He's like clearly a 79-year-old closeted man, like Southern man who's never, and I'm not saying he's gay, but if he's bi, he's somewhere on the spectrum, that like this is part of the damage, right? Part of the damage of closeting people is it doesn't just go away.
Well, look at Matt Schlapp.
Who's Matt Schlapp?
Matt Schlapp, who runs CPAC, who one of Herschel Walker's staffers accused him of grabbing him after a campaign event.
Oh, I miss all
that. Oh, and this is now, oh, yes. And that's one of the reasons why they think that some of the attendance at CPAC may have been down this year.
Was because of that guy?
Yeah, it was because of this accusation against Matt Schlapp.
So maybe sometimes there is ramification.
Well, again, we'll see. Just keep legislating against the people that I hate. Joseph McClear commenting on our StreamYard feed. If that guy runs again, he will get primaried, but he would likely beat any Democrat. Hypocrisy be damned. And Joseph, you are right.
Guys, stop putting your love life on hold.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Earl Ingram.
Mandela Barnes.
Yeah, the stories that I talked about, the stories that I share, my own personal experience, was not much different from the experience from a lot of other people across the state. People generally want to be able to, you know, exist together in harmony.
Working hard every day to inform, enlighten, and bring our community together. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy. It's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy. It's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many snowblowers, snow shovels, and snowmobiles are being sold as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are going to move on to, I guess, happier news. But yeah, just those three stories as far as...
Doozies.
I think they all drop Friday, too. Just, you know, they say Friday's a slow news day. Apparently not.
Well, not when you want to bury things. That's always a good day.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. So this could be interesting news for a state such as ours that likes to imbibe and really likes to drink. And also, I just wanted to talk about it because the idea of drunk mice is a hilarious image. So researchers at UT Southwestern may have found a way to sober you up fast. And they, at the very least, they figured out a way to do it with mice that might be slugging IPAs while living in your walls, which obviously, I wonder if, like, if you had a mouse in your house and you spilled some kind of booze somewhere, do you think that they would, like, naturally be drawn to drink it? To lap it up?
I have no idea. I mean, certainly they need moisture.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that, what their sense of smell is like.
I know. And so I'm just curious to do this test. Like, how much alcohol does it take to get a mouse drunk?
Well, you
can't
just
think it's a lot.
You wouldn't, I wouldn't imagine so. A couple drops would do you, right?
Yeah. So basically in the study, they found that injecting the liver produced hormone FGF21 into mice that were passed out from booze. So this is what I'm saying. They got mice drunk for this study. And I'm so curious of what a drunk mouse looks like.
He's sleeping.
He's sleeping. Does he sleep with his little tongue out though? Does he sleep on his back? Does he snore? Does he throw up? Like, I'm so curious. But basically, when they injected this hormone into a mouse who was passed out, it brought him back to consciousness in half the time it otherwise takes to sleep it off.
Is this good?
Well, what's why it could be good is the research could lead to life-saving treatments for alcohol poisoning.
Oh. So this isn't just something that you would get to use on a Saturday morning after going out on a Friday night regularly.
No, it sounds like it's something that could be used at, like, hospitals.
Okay.
For people who could die from alcohol
poisoning.
Like, drinking
wow.
too much alcohol.
Wow.
And so it's actually, like, yeah. So it's basically, it reverses the effects of intoxication, and it speeds up recovery from alcohol poisoning in mice. And on the longer article, says it has potential to save countless lives. And that's why I say, like, I'm kind of joking around because it's drunk mice, but, you know, I don't know what the death count is as far as, I mean, it's certainly not like drug overdoses, but
it
I can't
happens.
Imagine in Wisconsin that it's, we don't have a higher rate than other places. And especially when you think about kids who don't know how to moderate their drinking yet, and they drink way too much too fast. And so it's science is so crazy of just the things that they come up with. They're like, let's think about this problem and then go find something that could solve it. Right. And a hormone that you naturally produce. But I guess it makes sense because it's usually your liver processing alcohol anyways is how you eventually sober up.
Right.
Not coffee, not a cold shower.
Not greasy food.
Not greasy food. And so, yeah, but that's why it's, I don't think this is something that you can just like get over the counter. It's not like the, have you ever done one of those IVs? Like, you know, they mostly have them in Vegas, but it's basically you can go, there's a spot in Vegas where you can go for your hangover and get like hooked up with an IV to start feeling better because it like rehydrates you and they have like a B12 infusion and stuff. It costs like $100, so it's not cheap, but it's pretty popular because supposedly you feel a lot better afterwards. So it's not quite, I think it's, this is a little bit more serious than just a bad hangover.
Yeah, and I don't know about that whole Vegas thing. I'm a little twitchy about letting those people stick something in a vein. That makes me...
I think they're nurses.
Maybe.
I think they're registered nurses.
Okay.
I guess I'd be interested to... they would have to be, right? As far as just letting anyone stick a needle in you. But like, that's part of the terms of agreement in terms of service.
I practiced on an orange 3 times. It's going to be fine. You're not going to feel a thing.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. I also want to see what a drunk mouse looks like. Well, has any of your dogs over time ever gotten into anything that you're like, oh, well, they're.
No, fortunately. And I do have a friend who lost their lab puppy who got into some seeds that he was going to plant.
And what kind of seeds?
I don't remember. This is going back quite a few years, but the puppy got into some seeds and they expanded in his stomach and it killed him. You got to be careful with puppies and children because they'll stick anything in their mouths.
Who was I talking to? Someone, I was talking to a friend recently. Oh yeah. Who their dog will literally eat anything. And they ate an entire corn cob.
The cob,
which a dog cannot pass a cob and will not digest a cob. Oh. So they had to get surgery on their dog. And she was telling me how her husband, who was also a good friend of mine, is like, we're never doing this again. Like if he eats another one, he had a good run.
Well, that must have been thousands and thousands of dollars. We love our pets. We love our animals.
We do. All right. When we come back, we will be talking to Eileen Newcomer, who is the voter information manager at the League of Women Voters. We're going to be talking about how they're getting around the fact that more and more Republicans do not want to go to their forums. And so how are they getting around that and still providing good, solid, accurate information about candidates to voters, both in nonpartisan and partisan races? And we'll talk about what else you need to know, because we are 3 weeks and 1 day away from April 4th and the spring election. I think early voting starts March 21st, so we're about a week away from that, but it's going to come fast. But then, and then after that, then Bri will be here, my brother, to explain to us what happened with Silicon Valley Bank. What do we need to know? Does it actually affect us? And then for now, we're going to go to the top of the hour news. Stick around, stay here. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Football teams are torn this boy apart. Like a neon dream, it just don't know me. The bars in this guitar. And long neck ice cold beer never broke my heart. No, it never broke my
The Ides of March, the day. The Ides of March, the day that Caesar was killed, and it's the final day for you to make a killer deal.
March 15th.
That's right, March 15th is your last day to take advantage of our biggest sale. We're slashing prices on our premium sponsorships up to 50%.
Tie your business message and phone number into our hourly weather forecasts and get results.
But you must hurry.
This spectacular offer ends March 15th. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.